ऐसे उन्होंने निमा दिला का सो रहे जिस ईरान केवल शेंग रंग दां शेंग ये केवल जिस ईरान चीज़ है जिस ईरान चीज़ है तां दिने नमः ले न्यांगले में तो सोवा दिवास दिकोर शिरोह जिसने दिने जां जो ये आ रंगी निमा केवल कजी जी शब्द ने दिले याने या वो चुन्शा समझ पे या वो चुन्शा तभी समझें जिस ईरान चीज़ है तां ता दिमें बेरा शिरहाले शेंबी के 三界当成就三八当地名别的给我主权车上赶紧去那地区给我的变马斯亚布列森那很多情报列森其实依然是一般的所说的给我都不清楚三个列斯那地方继续的话那么多开心
So last week we continued to look at day seven in practice, looking at the three of rejoicing, requesting that the wheel of Dharma be turned, and requesting the teacher to remain, or the teacher not to enter Parinibbana. So amongst these we spoke primarily about the importance of rejoicing in the virtue that oneself have accumulated, as well as that which the virtue that has been accumulated by all other beings. And by other beings we refer to beings who are ordinary, such as ourselves, as well as the holy beings, the great beings, such as Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So all this virtue accumulated by self and this vast array of beings, we should generate a sincere attitude of rejoicing to this. And this then leads to a further accumulation of virtue by ourselves. So tonight we continue with the seven limbs. We're coming to the seventh of the seven limbs, that of dedication. We're now on page 325. I'm going to read the first paragraph there. Following the example of the youthful Manjushri, by dedicating to all beings whatever merit has been, is being, and will be accumulated by yourself and others, starting with the action you're doing now. Seal the dedication with the seal of non-conceptual wisdom or non-referential wisdom. Yeah, Whatever virtue we accumulate, whether it's virtue that's accumulated in meditation, such as, for example, in our morning practice, when we meditate on objects such as refuge, definite emergence, cultivating minds such as bodhicitta, etc., whatever virtue we accumulate through meditation, or through engaging in mantra accumulation, such as Om Mani Padme Hum, or the virtuous activities, such as directly engaging in beneficial activities, or being of help, of service to others, whatever virtue that we accumulate, this needs to be dedicated.
And In this first paragraph,
it's referring to the virtue that needs to be dedicated. So this is in two parts. The one part is the virtue that you accumulate, as well as others, in other words, all beings. And then the second part is when this virtue is accumulated. So it refers to, firstly, the virtue accumulating now, the virtue we have already accumulated, as well as the virtue that is still to be accumulated. So in other words, the virtue or the merit that is to be that's accumulated over the three times by all beings. This is what should be dedicated.
What has just been mentioned
here is what is to be dedicated. So this is the virtue accumulated by ourselves and others, so all beings, and the virtue accumulated across the three times. So in other words, all this virtue, all this merit, this is what is to be dedicated. Then, so that's number one. Second part, what is it to be dedicated to? So it should be dedicated to the attainment of Buddhahood. And then that's the second part. The third, for whom should this be dedicated? It should be dedicated for all sentient beings. So there are these three parts. What should be dedicated, to what it should be dedicated, and for whom. So this, the meaning of these three parts is that one shouldn't just be thinking about oneself. One's motivation should be genuine or sincere for all beings. So all beings would include ourselves, but it's for all sentient beings. And then secondly, not just for an ordinary goal of worldly happiness, but for something of the greatest of value, and that is Buddhahood. So these are the three parts here. The what is to be dedicated, all virtue, and to what? The greatest of goals, Buddhahood, and for whom? All sentient beings, not just oneself. What is then dedication? So dedication is a mental activity. And it's a mental activity, and what we are dedicating is the virtue that has been accumulated, is being accumulated, will be accumulated. So this is a mental activity. The dedication is a mental activity of what? All virtue accumulated across three times. To what? To enlightenment, the greatest of all goals. For whom? Not for oneself alone, but for all sentient beings without exception. So this is all, the meaning of dedication. It's a way of thinking.
Bene digging some and the some of the more don't I cheat to dig in some roa. Just not digging some just digging some by inzang and the moody gilligilly in a condom pain roa. I didn't I shame as the man to get kiawati, such a kiawati, the nigger kiawati, beauty, got a good shower and San Yoko want to be good shower. Susan Yoko Pato, the same gent tamje. Simjan,
so to understand more clearly this term dedication is to think of it as having a similar meaning as to give. So what is one? So one is giving one's roots of virtue. One is giving one's merit. So now, just to say as an aside, for the, from a language perspective, so in English we may say I dedicate myself to others. So this, I give myself to others. So the word here in Tibetan is being used in the same way. It's being used as to give. So for example, you have $1,000 and you think, so what can I do with this $1,000? What would be really useful? And you think, I will dedicate it to fulfill that person's needs. I will give it to her. And then you think, and then you act on that, and slowly then this dedication or this giving of this $1,000 to her will help her, benefit her, etc. So that is similar to what is being done with dedication. So we have a, maybe you could say, a basis or a substance that is being dedicated, and that is a cause for the attainment of enlightenment. So that is the objective. And for whom? For all sentient beings, without exception. So that is the understanding of what dedication is.
So
this book, then, we speak about dedication, but then let's look at prayer as well. There is a small difference between prayer and dedication. These can also though come together. So for example, in this illustration, they come together, prayer and dedication. Virtue, where virtue has been accumulated, and you dedicate this, may all sentient beings, without exception, all sentient beings, be my kind and precious mothers, all without exception, attain the state of enlightenment, the state completely freed from suffering. So this is both prayer and dedication. So where virtue has been accumulated, and we recite something like, may all sentient beings attain the state of enlightenment, then this is both a prayer as well as a dedication.
ラーロシリナラマロチビナダンガンズギクルチギナダディネチェチェマズギダディネサムダレシムジェンタムジェネサンユゴワトバショサンバイナディモラムレマドゴワチェゴマレダディガンズギゲワガンサンガンズギゲワドゴゴマロワチザンガンズドゥスゲワマゴワチェダシムジェンタムジェサンユゴワトバショサンベサムロシロワトバショサンバイナディモワチェゴレガサモラムチェゴレマドゴワマレ
Then in a slightly different context, if one recites the same words, the same heartfelt intention, this would only be prayer, it wouldn't be dedication. So this would be, for example, if before one's teacher or before an image of say, the Buddha, then one, from the depths of one's heart, makes a prayer, may all sentient beings, without exception, all sentient beings will be my kind and precious mothers, may they achieve the exalted state of enlightenment. This then is prayer. It's the same words as before, maybe it's the same strength of mind, but it's prayer, not dedication. So the difference between the two, in the first instance, there was previously accumulated virtue which was being dedicated, so therefore this was dedication together with prayer. The second illustration, there wasn't previously accumulated virtue being dedicated. So there wasn't virtue being dedicated. So therefore, this would just be prayer. For example, on shrine, one makes some offerings of some lights or some incense, then one is accumulating virtue. And accumulating this virtue, one dedicates this virtue so that all sentient beings attain enlightenment. So here, one is making a prayer and some aspiration from one's heart, and because a virtue has been accumulated, one is engaging in a dedication. So this is prayer and dedication together. If on the other hand, though, one is just generates this aspiration, may all sentient beings attain enlightenment, may all sentient beings be freed from suffering and pain. This then isn't being done in conjunction on accumulated virtue, so therefore this is prayer alone. The difference being, in the first illustration here, there was a substance, namely virtue, which is being dedicated. So when one made the offerings, one accumulated virtue, and that substance, that virtue, is what is being dedicated together with prayer. Whereas if one just generates an aspiration and for one makes a heartfelt prayer, then that is prayer alone. So that's the difference between prayer and dedication. So if one is dedicating, one is praying together. Those two will go side by side. They'll go hand in hand together. Prayer, though, if it's not done with a basis of virtue, with virtue of the substance being dedicated, then it is prayer alone. When one makes a dedication which would be conjoined with prayer, that for example, dedicating virtue so that each and every sentient being attains the exalted state of Buddhahood, then until that dedication is achieved, or the aspiration of that dedication is achieved, that virtue will not be exhausted.
And dangbo gunglo le ya ane simje thamji gyu ne sanju goba thubi chidi ma samba ine de ne ge gewa jup cha je ni je le yang de gewa dia simje thamji gyu de sanju goba thubi gyu gyu wa shos me mo wa jaba na da sanju goba de gyu cha go ni ga cha go wa da
So let's then look at with motivation and dedication together. So if one generates a motivation of bodhicitta, then with this motivation of bodhicitta, the virtue that one accumulates will be the virtue coming from, a virtue accumulated with a mind of bodhicitta. So therefore, it will be virtue accumulated with the aspiration that may each and every sentient being without exception attain enlightenment. So this virtue then becomes a cause for enlightenment. If one, on the other hand, engages in virtue without such a motivation, then one accumulates virtue. But that virtue does not become a cause for enlightenment because it is separated from a motivating mind of bodhicitta. That being said, if afterwards one then dedicates that virtue that was accumulated without a motivation of bodhicitta, if one then dedicates it to enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, then that virtue does become a cause for enlightenment, because retrospectively the mind of enlightenment has been generated and the virtue has been dedicated with such a mind.
Nada gewa dumne ngwa ja de che chimbu res di nda da den ma ane kar re lam na ta de shu gu di thwa shib ja ngob chong ngob din de la lo re lo re ja so shib do sa de ja ju sem lo re ja so sa de ye ane san jum nen de ya ya shu ne ane san jum nen de ge jing wa ja ma ane kar ga ne sung re se ya shu ha de ane san jum nen de ge ma de ne song ro wa ji de ro chu di ja so chimbu lung ane ja so ma se ba de de mi se de ne ja ju yong ma gewa yang
And we come to the top of page 326, and there's a quotation in the sutra requested by Sugaramati. Just as a drop of water that falls into the ocean will never disappear until the ocean runs dry, merit totally dedicated to enlightenment will never disappear until enlightenment is reached. So this verse then illustrates the importance of dedication.
This
verse is quite easy to understand, and it's clear if we had a little bit of water and we poured it on the beach, then in no time that water would disappear. It would either be lost in the sand or would evaporate. Whereas if it was poured into the ocean, it would mix with the ocean and it would continue. It would not be immediately exhausted.
This is
important is that when we accumulate a virtue, if we this virtue that we have previously accumulated, if it is, as we see in this verse, dedicated to enlightenment, it will remain until that dedication is fulfilled, until all sentient beings attain enlightenment. If we don't dedicate it in this way, it is very likely to be destroyed, not destroyed, sorry, it will to be to have its strength greatly reduced through the arisal of anger. So the arisal of anger serves to greatly reduce the strength of previously accumulated virtue that hasn't been dedicated to enlightenment.
It's
similar to if we have some money. If it's in our wallet, maybe it won't last that long. If we deposit it in the bank account where we don't have access to it, it's going to last a lot longer. And if it's in there on a fixed deposit, we cannot access it until that period is fulfilled. Whereas if we keep that money in our wallet, in no time it will be gone at all. So this is similar with the need to dedicate.
Reading at the top of page 326, you may wish to attain the level of a Suvaka or Pratyeka Buddha, so a hero or a solitude realizer, or to achieve total enlightenment. You may wish to be reborn in the higher realms, either as a god or as a human. Or you may only wish for temporary results such as long life or good health. But whatever end you have in view, when you do something meritorious, it is important to dedicate it to that end. So what's being said in this verse here is that when we accumulate virtues, such as, for example, through cultivating an ethical mind or practicing generosity, then we will be doing so with a motivation, and then we need to dedicate it. And so if we are dedicating this for something of quite small, relatively small benefit, such as wealth or health, then the virtue is going to be exhausted very quickly. Likewise, if we dedicate it just to achieving a good rebirth in our future lives, if we dedicate that the next life may attain another precious human rebirth and so forth, then when that is attained, that virtue, the strength of that virtue, is exhausted. But liberation still remains a way off, let alone enlightenment itself. So therefore, the very best way to dedicate is not for some temporary benefit, but for the greatest of benefits, for all sentient beings to attain enlightenment. So, for example, in order for all sentient beings to be freed from suffering and attain enlightenment, I need to become a Buddha, and I need to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And then one dedicates it until all beings are enlightened. In other words, so that one also becomes a Buddha to lead them to enlightenment, I dedicate this virtue. Then that virtue that has been accumulated will remain, will last until that final goal is achieved. It will not be exhausted quickly through dedicating for mere worldly benefits or for benefits that come quickly, such as our next life.
You mentioned earlier that dedication should be thought of as giving. So when we give ordinary things, we know we can only give one object to one person, then it's given and it's done. Virtue, though, is not like this. Virtue can be dedicated far more skillfully than mere worldly goods. So when you come to dedicate
We should generate heartfelt wish of the, that arises from the mind of Bodhicitta to dedicate for the welfare of all sentient beings. So what we're trying to do here is turn our mind away from the self-cherishing attitude to the other-cherishing attitude. So we're dedicating for all sentient beings does include us. But this is about turning our mind in a specific direction. So we generate the thought that all sentient beings want to be freed from suffering and attain lasting happiness. And for them to achieve this is my responsibility. I willingly take this on. And to fulfill this responsibility, I need to attain Buddhahood. So we can dedicate for the attainment of Buddhahood in order to be able to fulfill the lasting wishes of all sentient beings. Moreover, until this is achieved, may all sentient beings live in a state of peace and without fear. May beings live without any illness or disease. And we can dedicate in this way to these great goals. And moreover, we can dedicate that may all sentient beings without exception give rise to genuine minds of love and minds such as great compassion, and develop them to the state where the mind of Bodhicitta itself arises in the state, in the minds of all beings. We can dedicate further that the lamas that we have a strong spiritual connection with, such as His Holiness and Lama Zopa, etc., that they remain within the world and that all their holy wishes are fulfilled. But we should take this then even further, not just to our own teachers and not the others, but rather all virtuous friends, may all spiritual teachers, may their lives be stable, may they remain in this world, being of greatest benefit, and may their prayers be fulfilled, may beings act in accordance with their heartfelt wishes. So this is the way to dedicate, thinking in a broad and expansive way, encompassing the needs, first of all encompassing all beings, and then encompassing all their needs, in particular their ultimate needs, the needs to attain lasting happiness, to be completely freed from suffering.
Master,
unless by making prayers you rub the wish-granting gem of the two accumulations, the result you wish will never appear. So do the concluding dedication wholeheartedly.
So this verse then emphasizes the importance for dedication. So when we accumulate virtue, whatever virtue amongst the two accumulations one accumulates, in order to achieve one's heartfelt wishes, it needs to be dedicated, and it needs to be dedicated with intensity, or as we have here, wholeheartedly. So this dedication
needs to be made, and needs to be made with an intensity in order to achieve our goals. If it's not done, then the virtue is accumulated, but these goals, in particular that of enlightenment, is not going to be attained. So therefore, one needs to dedicate accordingly. This is said immediately below. It is the power of the dedication that determines whether positive actions lead to complete enlightenment or not.
So
there's a quotation here from Geshe Kampa Lungpa, but I'm not sure, I'm not comfortable with the terminology that's being used here. So for me, this is a little bit mistaken. So the word that is used here, we don't have it in English, translation is different, but the word that's being used in the Tibetan is neutral. But this, anyway, it wasn't translated for us, but I'll read it. No conditioned actions have a direction of their own to make vast prayers of aspiration for the benefit of beings. So what we have here is of direction of their own. The word in Tibetan is neutral, as in neutral karma. So again, the thing, this isn't about neutral karma, where this karma is virtuous and non-virtuous and neutral. We're talking about virtuous karma. So I don't think we should have the word here for neutral karma. That being said, in the English, the translators, you can see there's a note, they didn't use the word for neutral karma, they used this direction of their own. My understanding of the meaning here is that if one accumulates virtue, it requires that virtue requires both the motivation and particularly the dedication in order to become a cause for a good rebirth, a cause for the attainment of liberation, a cause for the attainment of enlightenment. Without In particular, that dedication, and also preferably the motivation, then this virtue that is accumulated, or the karma that is accumulated, rather, this would, you could say, it's not a cause for any of those outcomes, because it hasn't been dedicated or motivated in that direction. So that is my understanding of this term here. But this quotation is here to emphasize the importance of dedication. So the virtue that we accumulate, if we dedicate it for enlightenment, that virtue becomes a cause for the attainment of enlightenment. So it cannot be said to be neutral karma, because it is, has now been given direction. And that's what we have here in the English, yeah? So it's been, you know, this virtue has been given direction, and the direction is towards enlightenment. Then the paragraph below, it's again emphasizing the need for dedication, but this time in the context for those who accumulate virtue for either the deceased or for their loved ones. So the accumulation of virtue has happened, but it's not going to be of benefit to those beings unless it's dedicated in that direction. So if virtue is accumulated and you want it to be of benefit to others, such as the deceased or one's loved ones, it's imperative that one dedicates it to that end. So the text now presents a story from the time of the Buddha, and the Buddha was invited to by the inhabitants of Vaishali to come for a meal with his followers the next day, and so he accepted the invitation to join them for lunch the next day, and after the delegation had left, then a group of 500 pretas came to the Buddha and requested that the virtue that was to be accumulated the next day through this offering be dedicated to them. The Buddha, despite of course knowing the situation, he asked the pretas directly, so this is virtue that is going to be accumulated by the inhabitants of Vaishali. Why do you want to dedicate it to yourselves?
네, 아니 건조게 이다디 이게 야상이 좀 내래 렌 가르쳐서는 어 당한서 나저 녀마 다데디 다데 양보증이 미디기 건조게 파마 예상 녀마 다 녀마 혼 파마디기 정확히 이다 개월인 게 있어라 내내 나도 나 나도 녀마 양보증이 되수기 먼저 파마 예 세상 나도 녀마 세나 시우 쳬바자 세네기 원기엔 다데 이다 개월에서 세상 디인다 안에 나도
They replied by saying, "We were actually the parents of the inhabitants of Vaishali. We have deceased, but due to the ripening results of our miserliness, we have now been reborn as princes." The Buddha then accepted their request, but on condition that tomorrow they appear in Vaishali directly so that the dedication of merit can be made to them directly.
That's why Jim Nandi, you consulia. Oh, that can do Mozan and Yema. Send a JB couple of Momasaja, send a huge chair was. That's any Jebu, the Minsan, Motamas, Delia, and Pantos Kayama, Motan, and Pantos Kayamares. Charles Mayo, and then he cures more against Charles Yoman, more against Mahasanji, Masunroa, and James and Hunzi, all that, and then the Yumis Yashu, allegedly.
The pretzels objected vehemently because they were ashamed by how they looked, and they didn't want to appear before their children in these disgusting forms of pretzels. And they explained this to the Buddha. And the Buddha said, "Now's not the time for you to be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed by your minds and miserliness in your previous life. You, if you don't come tomorrow, I'm not going to dedicate the virtue to you." So then they reluctantly accepted.
And then, Sangi Dine, Sangi Jimne, the Hondupa, Peche, Shela, Chu Dine, and Sanoa, Jensen did the Ida de Leonroa, Leo de Michelson, Cheche, Cheche, Jersey Chevres, Chidu, Bashena Chevres, Chidu, Sangi Jimne, Shevo Mares, Jogo, Shevo, Cashevo Mare, Disu, Jerama, Churon, to give Pamares, Chesa, and Dine, and Honduria, Gangashu, Jenna, and the Churon, the Dadangandulia.
The following day, when it was time for the dedication to be made, the pretzels then appeared in Vaishali. The inhabitants were freaked out. They were petrified at seeing these forms before them and started to run away. But the Buddha calmed them and said, "No, don't go. These beings here were your parents in your previous life. They've only attained this rebirth due to the ripening effect of their accumulated negative karma. They've come here to request that the virtue that you, their children, have accumulated now through this offering be dedicated to them in this pitiful state. Do you consent to me dedicating the virtue to your parents?" So hearing this, of course, then the inhabitants of Vaishali accepted and said, please, do dedicate this virtue to our dear parents. And the Buddha did so, and this led to the pretzels dying very quickly, but being reborn in the heaven of the 33.
Mm. San Yajimendi, and it all can do, and it's ane ngando dustare o da sanje jemne di e konzole ningje ki mindu konzu pa ngo so shu se sha sam sam de jesi gi wa.
So in case you're thinking that oh, the Buddha wasn't particularly compassionate because he threatened to not dedicate to the needs of these desperate prayers. When he threatened them with this thing, if you don't come tomorrow, I'm not going to dedicate the virtue to you. So it's not that he was lacking compassion. So rather the Buddha was using skillful means by the people of Vaishali being able to see the ripening rebirth that comes from the non-virtue of mightiness, to see this directly. This of course would have a profound impact on their minds. Would lead to them giving rise to minds such as definite emergence, as well as minds such as joyous perseverance, wanting to make the most of what remains of this precious opportunity to accumulate virtue and to strive for a worthwhile goal. So therefore, for the purpose of through skillful means, for the purpose of being of benefit to the greatest number of beings, the Buddha made this threat to the pretas. So it is possible that you also may be thinking, wow, so virtue can be dedicated like this for the benefit of all sentient beings to attain the state of enlightenment. Well, there are countless beings who have already attained enlightenment and are striving for the welfare of all sentient beings, of which I am one. There are bodhisattvas in this and other worlds striving for the sake of sentient beings, of which I am one, dedicating this vast, powerful stores of merit that they're accumulating moment by moment for the welfare of all sentient beings, of which I am one. So, I don't need to do anything. They're doing it all for me. They're dedicating this virtue so that all sentient beings, of which I am one, will attain enlightenment. So, I can just sit back here and relax, and the holy beings can take care of us. So, you may have such a doubt.
Sanjukova to be Gucha,
I think it's really quite difficult if when virtue is dedicated in this way that it really becomes a cause for each and every sentient being to attain enlightenment. But what it does become is a practice of generosity, an act of generosity, with again with this understanding that this word of dedication means to give, so one is practicing generosity, giving the roots of virtue to others. And this actually helps us achieve enlightenment for the sake of others. So this is the way that this dedication benefits all sentient beings through us, our attainment of enlightenment for the sake of others, coming ever closer. So if when we dedicate for my welfare alone, this will not be able to, such a dedication will not lead to a result of enlightenment, even if you are dedicating for enlightenment of me. Because this thought process, whilst we are dedicating to the goal of enlightenment, but because of the strong self-cherishing in this dedication, it serves to obstruct the development of love and compassion. Whereas when we are dedicating sincerely, for may all sentient beings attain enlightenment, this then our mind is much broader, much vaster, and then we are our mind is open and able to progress towards developing love and compassion, and then that dedication can lead to the attainment of enlightenment. So in this way, even though despite we are dedicating, may each and every sentient being attain enlightenment, may this become a cause for each and every sentient being to attain enlightenment, directly it would lead to our attainment of enlightenment. Indirectly, thereby the benefits would come to others.
And
another perhaps clear way that we can see how dedicating virtue for the that may all sentient beings attain enlightenment, or dedicating virtue for the benefit of all sentient beings, actually does help that be achieved, is if we think of, for example, some of the holy beings in this world, such as His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Lama Zopa Rinpoche. So they
help immeasurable number of beings. So let's just think of the help they give financially. So they help many beings financially. But neither His Holiness or Lama Zopa earn a salary. They will respond to a request to teach, not because of the salary being paid. If there's no salary being paid, they will still teach. That is the request. Yet, they are able to help so many beings financially. And why is that? Because of the huge store of virtue that they have accumulated. Their advice, their teachings have a tremendous power. And thereby, they are able to bring great benefits in this world, so we're just talking from a financial perspective, despite the fact that they don't earn a salary. Yet, they can financially benefit so many beings. Whereas, for ordinary people such as ourselves, we can give good advice to others. We can give some good guidance to others. But they may well, or most probably won't follow that advice. In other words, our words lack the same power as the words from His Holiness or Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And that is because they have accumulated such vast stores of virtue that their words carry that weight and therefore have a powerful impact on others. So in this way we can see having accumulated vast stores of virtue dedicated for the welfare of all sentient beings. Then when they're enacting the welfare of all sentient beings, it has real benefits, real power, because of this great store of dedicated virtue behind them. Now we in page 357, and there's a quotation from Milarepa just below the middle. Between the hermits meditating in the mountains and the donor who provides his sustenance, there is a link that will lead them to enlightenment together. Dedication of merit is the very heart of that link. So can I just check with the rain? Can you hear me at the back? Yeah. Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Dini di trukki mare kongo wa chwe.
Oh, ma jen ne dini san yogo bo yu che ma ro wa dine. San yogo bo yu yu wa shi. Mung wang wang jang wa.
Dini kosa. So I'll just read the verse again. But between the hermit meditating in the mountains and the donor who provides his sustenance, there is a link that will lead them to enlightenment together. Dedication of merit is the very heart of that link. So here, this very well-known verse, the meaning of this very well-known verse is that for someone to achieve their full potential, then intense meditation and retreat is required. But for that to come about, one needs a variety of excellent conditions, and these need to be provided by sponsors and benefactors or donors. So the retreatant is accumulating vast thoughts of virtue, fulfilling their human potential and rapidly progressing towards enlightenment. But in order to be able to do this, they require the assistance of the sponsor. So there's the text here uses the term, there's a link, or you could say there's a dependency, a dependent relationship between the meditator and the one that provides the conditions for the meditation or enabling the meditation. Knowing this then, the meditator should and needs to dedicate this virtue well, the virtue that they are accumulating in retreat well. They need to dedicate it so that they attain enlightenment together with their sponsor. They dedicate this virtue so that may all sentient beings attain enlightenment. This virtue may lead all sentient beings attain enlightenment. And this then would have a particularly close relationship with the sponsor or with the donor, who is closely related to the success of this retreat. So here again, this verse is emphasizing not just the need for or this relationship of dependency, but for the need for virtue to be dedicated so that benefit comes to the sponsor through the virtue that the yogi is accumulating.
Korsum sehdi, anzuki deji sehdi re, tambal sehdi, anzuki gyawa sashebe gyawa di chikche. Ani dini gyawa diya nguwe zedi, karasina anzuki gyawa sashebe gyawa di che, nguwe zedi che. Ndi korsum sehdi, de dimba ma dhuba reyesan, dini nguwe zedi, diyan dakshin chibe sena, rang nguwe dhuba sawa yunye yoma reyesan, dimba ma dhuba samdaan che. I didn't know. Simjet Hamjigi Chidungo, Jeda Simjan Tamjiga, Demamatubari, Simjan Tamjig, Moe Chidung, Moegi, Simjan Digija, Demamatubari, some Daji Java, Korsum, Moe Tieti, Chidujava, Simjan Che. And the Garil Mogorism, Sanjuko Motor Shores Mogora, Sanjuko Malamogora, Jesna Denis Sanjuko Moe, Deni Moegi, Moe Yu, Sigur Moe Yu, Sanjuko Batia, and Demamatubari, isn't it? You got Demamatuba Mother, Rangman to Duba Yomare, some Daji. Oh, do sin it. Tony, 자르고로와.
Then the text comes to an important point. For any dedication of merit to lead to perfect enlightenment, it must be accompanied by wisdom, freedom from the three spheres or the three concepts. So we've touched this before on a few times before, the three concepts or the three spheres or the threefold conception. So this is the most skillful way that one can dedicate, and it's imperative that one does so. So bearing in mind, we've engaged in our virtuous activities under the influence of a motivation of bodhicitta, and that motivation of bodhicitta should still be present then when it comes to dedication. But then when one dedicates, in addition to this motivation of bodhicitta, one should dedicate in accordance with the three spheres. So what are these three spheres? So in the context of dedication, the first then is the substance. So what is the substance that is being dedicated? It is virtue. And what then does the three spheres refer to? So it refers to that the first point, namely the substance, which is virtue, is not truly existent. So one reflects that virtue is not truly existent. Then one comes to the second sphere, and this is the object for whom one is dedicating. So that would be all sentient beings. So the first was the substance, namely virtue. The second is the object for whom one is dedicating, and that is all sentient beings. And here the meditation is the same. All sentient beings lack true existence. Then the third of the three spheres is the object of dedication. So that is the object to be achieved. The object to be achieved, and that is in dedicating to enlightenment, the achievement of enlightenment. So that's the third, and here again, that enlightenment itself is not truly existent. So the three again, the first is the substance, and that is a virtue, not being truly existent. The second, the object for whom one is dedicating, all sentient beings, not truly existent. The third, the object of dedication, or the goal of dedication maybe, is enlightenment. Enlightenment itself is not truly existent. So that in the context of dedication is the three spheres. But we can add a fourth, or we should add a fourth, and that is that the dedicator, you yourself, the dedicator, is also not truly existent. So these are the three spheres, but including a fourth, that the dedicator is also not truly existent, maybe in the same way as all sentient beings for whom one is dedicating are not truly existent. And this is the way to dedicate, with this understanding of emptiness in these three divisions, but conjoined with the mind of bodhicitta. So here you've got the mind of bodhicitta together with the wisdom understanding emptiness, and this leads to the accumulation of merit as well as the accumulation of wisdom. The two accumulations being accumulated when one is dedicating virtue in this way.
Yeah, that's also good. The nigga, the same time, the same time, the nigga, some da, matuwa in a, that, you know,
The very abbreviated way to dedicate could just be, I dedicate that I become just like the Buddha. Because dedicating like that, when one is dedicating that one achieves all the qualities of the Buddha, including the motivation to be of greatest benefit to all beings. So this then can be likened if we, for example, if we develop public speaking skills, and we see someone who is really inspired by the public speaking skills, and they say, I want to talk just like them. Then that encompasses all the qualities that inspiring public speaker has.
So this is the same year, and a very abbreviated way to dedicate would be, may become just like the founder Buddha himself. And then this is over the page, they give a couple of verses. And in those verses, what is being said is that I dedicate this virtue in exactly the same way as the great bodhisattvas of the past have done so. So that too is an abbreviated way to dedicate. If you read the verses at the top of the next page of 328, it's quite clear.
So
something we've heard about a couple of times in this text is the practices or how to engage in at the beginning, the middle, and the end. So the beginning, so in the morning we get up, we set our motivation, and we set a motivation that today I will not harm others in any way. I will subdue my mind, I'll be ethical, I'll subdue my mind and ensure I don't bring any harm to others, whether physically, verbally, or even in my way of thinking. Moreover, I'll benefit others in every way that I can, both to ensure others don't suffer and they don't experience, but they rather experience happiness, and moreover, to lead them to create the causes to lead them to full and complete enlightenment. So therefore, one generates a commitment not to harm, but to benefit others, and benefit others in both the temporary and the ultimate way of leading them to Buddhahood. So we cultivate this motivation of bodhicitta in the morning, and then throughout the day, as we engage in our various activities, we recall this motivation to keep it fresh in the mind, and ensure that our various activities then become virtuous activities, or remain virtuous activities, and remain activities influenced by our motivating mind of bodhicitta. And then at the end of the day, in the evening, we sit down and we recall a day of success where we've only been of benefit and we haven't brought harm to others. And all this virtue that we've accumulated, we then dedicate to the attainment for all sentient beings to the exalted state of Buddhahood. Moreover, that our teachers that we have close connection with, as well as all spiritual teachers, that they remain in this world. And that all beings live in peace and in harmony. And then, this is how we should engage each day, the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Mm-hmm. kese sasana chik kewa che samen di lamsang war kyapchena digorwa shogay jana nyungo jana gidi ko na sosu ge ye jwa men chik chi ta sa ye jen ya an gewa di gyo sho song lang kyapchena digor sema sambo jen ya pebe ro chi chi ro ba che ba ne che sa ye jen ya da ni di ni ge ro ba che bi kewa di chen le an chik ge ya ngo kyapchena digor in ji mi ju kwa da ba du go go sa ya marwa di che de le an di ji she ba na jen to de ma ma ju ba sam ta na an de ya wo dang tum de ya wo ro अरे अंदर जमा दिशे दी सो पुसुस तबा से दिला मलिया अने जिके दी सो तबना दी कोर माशिया चे
कौसा देन कटी शुरू में जस्ट दोस
ने जस्ट दोस
ओके एंड जस्ट वन लास्ट अ पॉइंट टू मेक इज दैट फ्रॉम दिस प्रेजेंटेशन डोंट टेक अवे दैट डेडिकेशन इज समथिंग टू बी डन एट द एंड ऑफ द डे ओनली डेडिकेशन शुड बी डन एट द एंड ऑफ द डे But it can be done at any time. So in the morning, generate the motivation, engage in meditation, and then dedicate that virtue. During the day, when you're engaging in virtuous activities, you're helping others, you're being of benefit in this world, dedicate that virtue. If you can, if you have the space in your activities, dedicate the virtue whilst you're accumulating it. Then at the end of the day, dedicate it again. And especially at the end of the day, because there's less distraction than during the day, do so with whatever understanding one has of emptiness. Dedicate with this understanding of this that we just spoke about, with the three spheres. Reflect on that and dedicate with an understanding of emptiness. So dedication then can be done throughout the day. So we'll conclude here for tonight. It's a little late, so I won't take any questions tonight. But then next week we'll continue from where we finished with, there's a small section on praying with resolute trust. So we'll start there in the middle of page 328 next week. So thank you very much.